Last Sunday, we began to look at our vision, as we have been looking all fall here, from the perspective and the idea of embracing people. If you remember at the beginning of, on the front of our bulletin, just drawing it to you, trying to get it to your mind so that you will remember it, that we exist to embrace people and equip them to be Spirit-led apprentices of Jesus Christ. And we spent several weeks already talking about what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because that's the goal. That's where we want to get, that everyone who comes into contact with this body of believers here would get to the space of becoming an apprentice, not a Spirit-led apprentice of Jesus Christ. And so when we go to the end, we also have to go to the beginning. And if you were here last week, you remember, it's kind of a circular sort of thing that builds on one another. We embrace people and then equip them. And in equipping them, we develop as apprentices. And as we develop as apprentices, we want to go out and share more about Jesus and how that works, which is embracing people and goes around in the circle there. And so we looked at embrace last Sunday. And if you remember, the idea of embrace and how we figure that out in ministry related within our church is Sunday morning. There's been a lot of ministries in the course of the life of this church, and there will be a lot of ministries in the future of this church, and some will come and some will go, and they'll be strong and they'll be weak, and they'll, you know, start and they'll stop, and that's all good. There is nothing wrong with that. That is the life of church. But we have always, as a church here at Argyle Road Baptist Church, met on Sunday morning to worship God, and we will continue, and I say that emphatically and confidently, we will continue to meet Sunday morning to worship God for the next however many years God keeps this church going for us down the road. And I can't even think about that number of years. And Sunday morning will be part of that, because that is important. That is where, as a community of faith, we gather together to encourage one another, to support one another, to meet with God, and to be challenged and changed by Him. And so last week, as we looked at that, we looked at what is it that we bring to church? How do we arrive at church? What is the attitude that we have when we approach Sunday morning? And what attitude should we have when we approach Sunday morning? But Sunday morning isn't just about coming and sitting on a really comfortable seat and listening to me. There are more things that happen Sunday morning than just that, right? And that's a little bit different than our attitude. Our attitude informs into that, but there are more things that happen. And so the first thing that I want us to do this morning is we look at the bigger idea of how we worship beyond the pew. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is the experience that you have. What do you experience when you come to church on Sunday morning? Now, this is our give and take part of the sermon here. I really do want to know, what do you experience when you come to church Sunday morning?
Fellowship.
Ron, you're going to say the same thing? Awesome. We are unified. I love it. What are the things that you experience?
Friendship.
There are no wrong answers. Encouragement. Sure. Any other thoughts? What is your experience?
Praise.
Experience on Sunday morning. Maybe I should pre-warn you about these questions the week before so you can think about these things. Sorry, say that again, Jenner? Worship and pray? Yep. Sharing the ups and downs of life. And can I add with one another in that? Yep. Philip, perfect. Thanks, Vicky. Yep. Peace. Yeah, thanks, David. The visions of like the 20, 30 kids that come up over here, and the one over here, whose kid is that? that's awesome, isn't it? That's fantastic to see. So cool. What else? Love. Yep. Singing in one voice. Yep. Yep. Got it. Sorry?
Challenge.
Yes. Thanks, Heather. Let me give you a few thoughts that I jotted down here. It's interesting. All of what you're telling me are kind of feeling experience, emotional sort of based experience things. How many of you experience clean sidewalks when you come to church? Maybe not right now because there's scaffolding on the front lawn and things like that. But that's because everybody. What about the building? Does the building look nice? Okay, let's just pause for a second here on that. Doesn't this look good, the work that's happening out here? This is great. Let's just, if we can just pause real quick, a hats off to Rick, who did a lot of work organizing all of this. And Chuck, although he's not here, is he not feeling well or? Oh, he's away. Okay. Let's just acknowledge that good. Yes. Thank you guys. This is looking great. You know, what about, parking? How do you experience parking when you come Sunday morning? Not great. I moved scaffolding pieces so I could park this morning. What about, things like music? Is that a part of your Sunday morning experience? We talked about singing and praise. We talked about the music a little bit. What about, the bulletin? You know, is that part of your Sunday morning experience, or do you not even read the bulletin anymore? Actually, who reads the bulletin? Quick poll. Fantastic. Who would not even notice it if we didn't have it anymore? Okie dokie. What about the visual aspect of Sunday morning? Now, we're not talking about how I look. We're never going to go there. But what about how this looks? Or how the lights look? Or the carpet? Or do you ever think about that? Is that part of your experience Sunday morning? What about people who met you at the doorway? Now, I was a little late this morning because we had a really robust GLC conversation going on right to the end. I loved it over there. Do we have people greeting? I'm pretty sure, Arnold, you would have been at this door over here, right? Is that, yeah? What about families like your own? Did you notice when you came to church this morning that you experienced that there are some families that look to be about the same space and age and life as you? We've already mentioned friendly faces and people. What about a comfortable sound level? Am I too loud? Was Larry Norman too loud? He's awfully high though, isn't he? That's a high range there. You know, that's part of, thank you, Chris, for the good levels back there. What about a place for the kids? We talked about the kids being up here, but when they left from here, was there a place for them to go where people would care for them and love them and teach them that we could happily say, woohoo, see you later for a few minutes? These part of your experience on Sunday morning? I bring this up and I want to ask a question because there's a lot of things that we experience coming to church. And we have the answers, you know, praise and worship and friendliness and these sorts of things too. But when we come, especially if we've never been here before, what are the impressions that we get? Maybe that would have been a better question. What are the impressions that we get? What do you notice that, other people wouldn't necessarily notice, or what do you notice that maybe it hits you a little bit wrong, or is, man, that's kind of I don't know about that guy or something, you know, or that look or whatever it is, you know, that happens. My point is that church is not just about coming to a building and sitting on a hard bench and listening. We're here to worship God. We're here with an expectation that He is going to speak to each of us in a deep and life-changing way. But what about the stuff that happens so that this can happen? Right? What would happen to church if we all came? This is just to think this, you know, a little bit here, and nobody had done anything else for any other part of what happens. Well, first off, you'd walk up and the lawn wouldn't be cut and the doors wouldn't be open. So we'd all be standing outside. And I wouldn't have prepared a sermon, and Sharon and the team wouldn't have got songs going on, and Chris wouldn't have turned the projector on and got the sound system going because, well, we didn't get in the building because we all came just to sit and listen, right? There's a lot of other things that go on to that. And sometimes I think we need reminding about that, that happens. And is that those outside of this time and space things, are they part of legitimate worship? I would say yes, they are. In the Peter passage I read earlier here, talks about building, right? Did you catch the building idea in Peter's bit here, living stones being built, stuff like that? Now most of us, when we read that passage, if you're like me, you focus on the part in there about Christ being the cornerstone. This is the next point, building stones. About Christ being the cornerstone, and that people who are disobedient to God's plans stumble on that stone, right? Like, that's because, you know, Peter's quoting out of scripture and it jumps out of the page at you and it's right there. And we tend to focus on this, you know, Christ is the cornerstone. We sing songs about it. We trip on it when we're not listening and fall down. And all of this spreads in there. But I wonder if you noticed something else that I noticed in here, this week as I was reading. In verse 5, I want us to just jump ahead to verse 5. Peter isn't just talking about Jesus. Do you know what I mean? He's talking about us. He's talking about everyone who is a part of Christ's body. In verse 5, he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." To get that? What if that was the focus of the verse? What if the focus of the verse was for us to get this idea that Jesus isn't a stone? I mean, he is a stone. He's a rock. He's building. He's fantastic. Out in the middle of nowhere with nothing connecting to him. That people just kind of randomly trip over as they walk through the field. He is a part of a building. If we can use that metaphor, he is the central part of that building. And I'm no engineer, and I certainly can't build a square frame in a house or anything like that. But this idea of this cornerstone is this block that's set right there, and it is perfectly square. There is no imperfection in it at all. And the whole rest of the building is built off of that line. And if that line isn't there, and if that line is out just a little bit, then you've got strange crooked walls, and you've got a lack of plan, and nothing else happens. And Jesus is a part of that, and we are that building. We are that spiritual house. It is the church. And I'm not saying the church building this building, but us, the believers. Those who claim Jesus Christ as their own. We are being built into that. That is part of Sunday morning. That is part of our fellowship together. That idea of being a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. All of those are group terms. Group, not individual terms. Group terms. Meaning that there's more than one person involved in this process. We are all a part of the building. So what are the things, you fellow building stones, what are the things that make up the building of worship on Sunday morning? Well, we talked about a bunch of things already, but I want to add a few more to it. Argyle City is part of the building stones of Sunday morning worship. Godly play is part of the building worship. Toddlers, part of the building stone Sunday morning worship. Introductions. When we introduce ourselves, one another, to people who are new, or we have people at the front, the entrances, who welcome in and say, "Hi, I am." And not just, "Here's your bulletin," going, but come say, "I am. I see that maybe you have small kids. Well, I want to introduce you to Ryan and Cindy over here. They've got two kids, look to be about the same age as yours. And maybe, oh, you wonder, here's where the kids are going to go later in the service. Or, wow, I noticed that you've been here a couple of weeks now. And have you thought about maybe joining one of our GLC groups so we can connect a little bit better? There's going to be one happening on the 28th, starting up in the afternoon at Marion Chateau. And it'll be lots of fun if you've got time. And going on those introductions. The conversations that I always interrupt in the beginning of the service, and I hope continue on after the service is over, is part of that building stones, where life is being communicated around one to another. You know, things as well, announcements, are part of our Sunday morning worship experience. And there's other things as well, but those are just a few to list. And so when we come to church, there's a lot of other things that are happening that are part of embracing than sitting and waiting for something to happen to us. So how are we doing in the bigger picture of Sunday morning? Now, you might have been wondering, in the context of this message that we're giving you to be listening to, what am I doing in Genesis up here in chapter 4? Because it's a bit of a leap, maybe. And you're thinking, "Ryan, this is a bit of a leap. I'm not sure what you're doing in Genesis, but we're going to get there." Let me take you back for a moment. Here we have Genesis chapter 4, the early stages of human existence. And more specifically, the early stages of human existence outside of paradise, where we actually have to do something. Now, Adam and Eve had compromised the good thing they had going with God, and were now on their own and living outside of the Garden of Eden. Eventually, like all parents have, or at least try to, all parents have, it's part of being parents, they have kids. Right? That makes sense. And it's kind of like we all have moms. Right? Yeah, okay. They have kids. And these kids grow up to be farmers like their father. Now, the context in the story, if you look at how it's actually written, these are, in the story of chapter 4, Cain and Abel are adult children in this part. So, some point, and in their adult childhood, or their adultdom now, at some point, they've decided, "Hey, we should do something for God." Now, why hasn't this been a part of their experience before now? I don't know. My guess is that probably Adam and Eve, as much as, you know, Eve said, "Thanks God for giving me Cain," she didn't say anything about Abel. Did you notice that there? It's just, and then Abel came along. But my guess is they probably harbored a little bit of resentment towards God for kicking them out of paradise in the first place, and not just kicking them out, but making them actually work. So, you know, when you go to work tomorrow morning, you know who to blame. So here we are, these adult kids have grown up with at best a passing, nominal understanding that there might be God out there somewhere, deciding that let's hedge our bets, let's cover our bases, and, you know, this God that mom and dad sometimes maybe talked about, we should maybe do something about that. We should do something nice for this God. We don't necessarily know much about, but there is a significant impact on our lives. He had a significant impact on our lives because mom and dad keep talking about this garden that we're not living in at this point. So Cain puts together a salad. It's a nice salad. You know, salad, there's nothing against salads. He probably threw some greens and stuff, but he really didn't put his best effort into it, into this salad. You know, maybe the lettuce was a little wilty in parts, or maybe the tomato was not quite ripe enough when he was slicing it, putting in there, or maybe, you know, he put, you know, the wrong salad dressing on. And, you know, maybe we got Catalina on there, and God doesn't really like Catalina. He's a ranch man. So, I don't know what is wrong with Cain's salad. But he kind of throws it bowl and says, here you go, God. Now, Abel, on the other hand, goes into his flock. And remember, he's the rancher, and Cain's the grain farmer, right? He goes into his flock, and he picks out the most perfect animal he can find. Now, this is an animal, and I don't know whether it's a sheep or a cow or I don't know. And that doesn't matter. He goes out, and he finds the most perfect animal. And it is in the prime of its life. It is at the peak of its tastiness. There is nothing wrong with this animal. It has been well fed with all the right organic feed. No preservatives, no extra stuff added in there at all. It's all organic. It's all right stuff. And he has taken that animal out, and he has butchered it. And he is a professional butcher. And so he has not only just butchered the animal and kind of cut a slab off and go, he cuts out the best cut of meat that can possibly ever be gotten from the best animal he has ever seen. And he brings that steak or whatever it is that you want to imagine it being, and he barbecues it up to perfection, and it is mouth-watering, and it is succulent, it is so tender, you can take your teeth out and give them the night off because it is just going to chew. Like, so if you can just imagine the quality of this offering, right? I'm taking some liberties. Scripture doesn't tell us that, you know, bear with me there. And he puts it out there. He attends to every little detail right down to the serving platter of this offering. Now, what is the thing that we notice about the approaches? What is it that causes God to look with favor upon one offering and not the other? I'll give you a hint. It has nothing to do with the dietary choices. It is not a grain versus animal question. It's not a living creature versus a non-living creature issue. It is about the effort. It is the quality. Abel brought his absolute best to the worship table, while Cain showed up with something average. You thought about that? You see that picture going in? And that's kind of, this is my final point for us this morning. This is where it fits in. There we go. It's about bringing our best. Bringing our best. What does it mean to bring your best to Sunday morning worship? Now you might be thinking, gee, Ryan, we talked about this last week. You know, come with the right attitude. Get this. Yes, that's right. And that's a part of it. But that's not the whole picture of it, because there's so much more that happens on Sunday morning. And there are a lot of different ways that our best on Sunday morning looks. And obviously, the main thing, as I talked about, is to come to church fully expecting to meet with God. Not partially expecting, not, you know, maybe if it happens, okay, but fully expecting to meet with God and to have that right attitude we talked about. But it means other things as well. Right? And three just quick things, but there's more, and you can fill in these blanks a little bit for us later. So, but there's the area of time. Have you thought about bringing your best to God in time? And I'm not talking how long it takes me to preach. That's a different time issue. But I'm talking about being on time. And now you might be looking at Ryan. This is a little hypocritical for you. You are not the most on-time person ever that we know. I know this. I confess this. I really do try to change. But I am here on time. And you know, without too much of the pot calling the kettle black, some of you, this is not an area of struggle, and you do bring your best. For other of us, well, let's just say there's often a lot more people sitting here when we're done singing than when we start singing. Have we brought our best to God in terms of the time that we're offering to Him on Sunday morning? What about getting involved and using our gifts? A few weeks ago, you remember we talked about using our gifts, and every single person as a part of the body of Christ has at least one gift to offer that God gives us to build the body of Christ up, to be a part of that. Do we bring our best to Sunday morning with those gifts? And do we use them? And alongside this idea of using our gifts is the idea of seeing need. And not just seeing need, but acting on that. Stepping in to help share the load in that area. I've had a few people complain that we had no greeters for a while. It's tough to get people to greet and be hospitable. I had somebody complain that there was no 9:30 class for a while, and that somebody was unwilling to step up to lead in that area. We have to step in to share the load. We have a fantastic group of dedicated people helping out with Argyle City and Godly Play. And Linda is part of the, Nancy, there's a dedicated group of people who are awesome. And Linda's nodding her head. They are fantastic. And they're doing a great job with their kids. And they are a small group of people. Very small group. And as a result of needing to be with the kids, they miss out on worshiping with the rest of us more often than not. We bring our best in seeing a need to help out with that. The last thing I'm going to pick on, and again, we could have picked on lots of things. The last thing I'm going to pick on this morning is tithing. And this isn't a sermon on stewardship. We're going to have another one of those down the road. But this isn't a sermon on stewardship of money. But I do want to ask the question, are you bringing your best in this area of tithing? Do you give to God at the front end of your pay cycle? Or do you wait till the end and give of what's left? Are you bringing your best when you come to worship God on Sunday mornings? And how does that speak to our embracing? As I said, there's a lot of other ways that we can bring our best on Sunday morning. We bring our best in the sound booth. We bring our best in decorations. We bring our best in worship team. We bring our best. And I'm not saying that it's, that our best means no one will ever do it better. I'm saying it is our best that we bring. The point of all of this is that we are part, as I said before, of the spiritual house of worship. A spiritual house of worship that is built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave his best. God gives us his best every day. Shouldn't we be doing the same for him? Let's pray together.